This is BCB 106.6 FM.
Good afternoon, folks, and we're live. But we won't be live when you're listening to this because we're recording it, it's pre-recorded. But this is Shai Shai Burhan, professional photographer extraordinaire or something like that. And you're listening to Snapshot with Shai. And we have guests in the studio, yay! We have great guests in the studio today. So, what I'm going to do is allow them to introduce themselves, and then I'll tell you why we have guests and what we are talking about today. So, can we have yourself?
Yes, so I'm Michelle O'Neill, and I work at Stay In Put as a recovery support worker and capacity builder. My role is working with clients suffering from, who've just come out of domestic abuse situations. Mm-hmm. And I do, and I work for Stay In Put and Keith Lee Domestic Violence Services on behalf of those.
Well, I'm impressed. Actually, I think I'm just going to hang up my camera. Can I just have your job?
No. I actually love my job.
Thank you. And our next guest, could you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, everyone. I'm Evie Angel, and I'm a survivor of domestic abuse. And I have been helped by the Freedom Programme that was run recently by Stay In Put, and as a result of that I was moved forward onto the Butterfly Project, and I got my creative vibe back, and it was just a lovely place. And I'm here to represent Jill, who runs it today.
Well, that's a nice talk about segue. I'm telling you, they're doing my job for me. We talked about, you just mentioned the Butterfly Project, so that's what we're here to talk about today. We're also here to talk about the exhibition that's a part of the tangent, that's the tangenting off from that. So, listeners, what we're doing today is, obviously, I mean, the show itself is about everything photography related, but there's also, it's also interspersed with other artistic endeavours. So, with regards to the Butterfly Project, you might have mentioned in my previous show, I've been working with them. I worked with them for about 4 to 5 weeks. It was supposed to be 6 weeks, but I'm so quick and good at what I do that I managed to do it in 4 weeks. And I was basically documenting the art therapy workshops that they run. Now, the Butterfly Project, it was set up by a lovely lady called Jill Boyd. Jill herself is the survivor. I know she doesn't like that term, but I'm going to call it because I don't know what else to call it, a survivor of domestic abuse. And she's also an absolutely phenomenal fine artist. And what she did was she set up the Butterfly Project because one thing she realised was that they went through Women's Aid, then Freedom Programme, and then there was this lull as to what do they do, you know, how do they move forward. It's kind of like sink or swim. So for some women, or not all of them, not all people that helped, but being the artist that she is, she thought, okay, how can I channel this? So what she did was she copied an idea. She was telling me she copied an idea that she'd heard about in London. And with the Butterfly Project, it's an empowerment group, a women empowerment group, and they use art therapy workshops to basically create that sense of involvement, intimacy, friendship. And what drew me to it was the fact that they were using art itself to catapult these women into the public arena again after their very traumatic background. But, I mean, I know you two haven't seen the exhibition yet, but when you see it, you would not think that these were women who'd gone through, you know, domestic abuse. And that's deliberate on my part. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do is... So, Michelle, can you just tell people how you got involved with the Butterfly Project? And we'll talk about the exhibition in a minute.
Yeah, so I run the Freedom Programme, which is a 12-week programme for women who've come out of domestic abuse relationships. Unfortunately, I haven't got a group for men yet, so it is just women. They've come out of these relationships any age. In fact, some women are still in the relationships, but we still support them through that. This 12-week programme look at different personas that an abusive person may have, but it's looking at the warning signs for future relationships, and also in like your friendship groups, peer groups, yeah, your work colleagues, what is a good person to be around, what is a bad person to be around, and it's for them to recognise that.
Sure.
More importantly, it's about them meeting people,
yeah,
making friends, which they do. We have them, they go out to cinema together, to the theatre, they meet up for coffees. It's It's building the friendships up that they've not had for such a long time. When women are in an abusive relationship, it's very unlikely that they will have any friends or have contact with family. One of the first things abusers will do is isolate them.
Yeah.
So that'll cut them off from the community, full stop. So by coming to one of these groups, it's a massive thing for these women, and they get so much from it. It's frightening for them to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
But the strength from the group, and you've got women that have been in the group from previous programmes, and
yeah.
they're there, so they support them, take them on. Anyway, we have recognised that. They come to the end of this Freedom programme, 12-week course.
Yeah.
They are invited to come back again if they want to do it again. But it comes to an end for them, for a lot of them, if they have to go back to work or if they do get jobs. And they're cut off and isolated again. They're no longer in a group anymore. So in May this year, Jill approached me. And so she came to his office, brought a portfolio of all her ideas and what she wants to do, talked about her background. She's got mental health nursing background. She's also been through domestic abuse herself, so she understands and gets it. And basically sold the concept to, she wants to do a creative group with the women. And from that creative group, it's to look at the positives of oneself. So it's leave the domestic abuse behind.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fresh start. This is looking at the positives about yourself. What do you like doing? What do you like? Where is your creativity?
Yeah.
What is it that is good about yourself? So the work, she does lesson plans and everything, it's all around their individuals.
Right.
What is positive about them? It builds up the confidence and self-esteem. And again, it's in such a relaxed, calm atmosphere. Sometimes it's silence, but it's comfortable silence. It's a nice silence where they're working.
Yeah.
There's laughter. It's just so, it's a brilliant environment to be in.
Yeah.
We started off doing it as a 3-week trial. That ended up being 6 weeks, and then ended up being putting forward for government big lottery funding, which we were successful at. So we've got a full year's funding for it, and it's now at the Hive in Shipley, which is a brilliant community arts venue.
Yeah.
And we've got it twice a week. We've got one morning a week and one evening a week to suit people who are working. And it's just started this week from two sessions a week.
And that's at the Hive, is it?
The Hive in Shipley, yeah.
And can I ask, can anyone come along, or are these people that
have
picked it?
No, what we recommend is we ask the women to come through the Freedom Programme. We like them to deal with the negative side of the domestic abuse and learn about what they've gone through, warning signs for future relationships, and get what they need to get off their chest and be around people that completely understand it and understand their feelings and get that support. And that's where the true connections are made between the women and the groups. I mean, you've been there, haven't you, Eva? They're just the friendships and everything that's made.
Sure.
When I feel like they've come to a right stage in their journey, that's when they'll be invited to the Butterfly Project.
Right.
Because they have to leave the abuse behind. They need to leave the negative behind and focus on the positive. Otherwise, we're not going to be on the right road to recovery. And then the Butterfly Project is there for long term. As long as we can keep the funding, the door's always open from then. If they needed it back into the Freedom Programme, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That's normal. It's very common for somebody to go back into an unhealthy relationship.
Right.
Again, so the door's open, but we want to get them more on the route to recovery.
And have you ever found that some of the women that have come along, they've come along for 2 or 3 weeks and they've really enjoyed it, but they've never come back, and then they've come back to you, say, a year down the line, and they said, look, you know, it was our own personal journey, we didn't go back to our abuser, we did go back to our abuser, can we rejoin? Is it as simple as that, or is it about betting them?
You do get women that, with the Freedom Programme, they'll not attend, you worry about them, you try and get hold of them, you can't get hold of them, then later on they do come back. And then it's more of a case though, I did go back into the relationship. But it's a non-judgmental group. If they go back into an unhealthy relationship, that's fine. The door is always open, and that's what we're there for. It's very difficult. There's women feel like it's their own fault, they're to blame, and can punish themselves. But for us, the door is completely open. Whenever they want to come back, they can come back. If they just want to phone up and speak to member staff at Staying Put or Keighley DVS, again, we'll speak to them and help them through and guide them every step of the way. So, you do get women that stop coming.
Yeah.
I can't really comment so much on the butterfly projects at the moment because it's only been running since the last few months.
Yeah.
We do have women that come and go when it suits them, when they can come. It's hard with childcare.
Yeah, of course.
It's hard with people work commitments and the changes in women, they can come out of their relationships, they find themselves being positive, confidence and self-esteem. Got myself back in college, university, got jobs.
Yeah.
So it might not fit in with their free time anymore. Mm. So yeah, it's sad to see them go, but in a way it's good that they've left on a positive note rather than leaving on a negative note.
Yeah, and do you find that the women do keep in touch even when they don't come back to the actual workshops? Do you find that they are sort of like extracurricularly just meeting up?
Yeah, we've got some WhatsApp groups going on at the moment.
Oh, right.
Some of the groups, they're all meeting up and sharing information and ideas.
Yeah.
Some of us women have finished the Freedom Programme and then have been doing some dance work with Dance United at Carla Sangham, and that clashes on one of our Freedom Programmes and with the Butterfly Project, but the dance was more appropriate for them and suited them. So when that's not being running, they pop into the Freedom Programme just to say hello to everyone, which is good really, because those that are new starters can see the benefits of the group, and they're coming to talk about how far they've gone from finishing the Freedom Programme. So yeah, it's good. It's great when you do see them come back. And this week at the WOW Festival, we're going to see a lot of the ladies.
Oh yes,
so indeed. That's really good. Yeah, I can't wait.
We'll be talking about the exhibition shortly, but I just wanted to move on to you, Evie. What was your role? How did you actually get involved with the Butterfly Project? And can you, because Jill isn't here, so Jill Boyd was meant to be a blessed little girl, like I say, she has a terrible cough. And would you be able to, because I know you've spoken to Jill earlier today, haven't you?
Yeah.
Just give us a few responses to what she did, what she does and what she has done in the past, and then obviously give us your side of things and how you got involved.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Jill, basically, she wanted to create a protective space, a positive space for women who've completed the Freedom Programme to come together and sort of start off with an initial positive word that describes them, and then you explore further and further and further into yourself now. It's like a transition from the Freedom Programme. She's created this space where you can come together, no pressure, and you're just there to create. She gives you ideas, but it's all down to the individual. And the expressions of creativity that have come from the group, each are very, very different, show each personality.
Yeah.
But it's just such a beautiful thing, because it's as I say, she wants to protect us, but she also wants to empower us. And she laughs about it, but she wants to sort of make domestic abuse awareness something that people know about through the negative side of it, but she wants to push the positive side of it. And her art and the art of the group, she's using that as the exhibition.
Absolutely, which we'll be talking about very shortly. How did you yourself get involved with the Butterfly Project? How did you hear about it?
I attended some of the Freedom Programme sessions. I originally started the Freedom Programme on the Wirral, where I'm originally from, over six years ago.
Yes.
6 years ago. And I couldn't complete it because I was going through court process and it was a challenging time. And I met Michelle, and Michelle said, come along, no pressure. And I went there, and there was residue that I needed to just let go of. There was, you know, I've suffered depression for years, I've suffered PTSD for years, and it was a way for me to sort of face up to that residue that was still hanging me back. And my confidence has grown thanks to the Freedom Programme and the Butterfly Project.
Well, I think that's a testament in itself. And if so, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the exhibition. We've gone about the exhibition. I'm going to stop teasing you. I'm actually going to tell you what's going to happen now. So, I, as a professional photographer, as my listeners know out there, I am very much into the social documentary side of things. I actually met Evie in two capacities. I met her through my role at the Real Junk Food Project as a photographer there. That was one thing. And prior to that, she fell into Bradford Enterprise. She fell into Bradford Trident. She literally stumbled in to the office. And myself and my fantastic boss, my former boss, Jonathan, were in there, and this whole ball of energy came into the room, and she was wanting advice about your, well, it's up and running your business now, isn't it? Which you can talk about in a bit. But from that, you said that basically I'm starting up this cafe with the Real Junk Food Project. Have you heard of it? And I was like, yeah, just a little bit. And from there, we kept in touch. And then obviously I visited your cafe. And I myself, as a photographer, had wanted to document something around survivors, the narrative of domestic abuse survivors, for about a year now. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know if I'd be any good at it. I suppose one thing that the Real Junk Food Project exhibition did is it gave me the platform and the confidence to feel that I could do that, and to do it responsibly, because this is, you know, we're dealing potentially very vulnerable people that have had very traumatic lives, and for me, I always like to focus on the positive. So through yourself, you put me in touch with the fantastic Michelle, who's sat here with us, not nervous at all, she's done very well, hasn't she, and Jill herself, and then I came in and sat on, was it one or two sessions before I started recording?
Was it two? Yeah, I'm sure it was two.
Yeah, and I came and met the women and explained what I wanted to do. So listeners, the crux of my idea was basically to go in and actually document the workshops. So Michelle and I went back and forth. We spoke to the women. She very generously spoke to, is it Yasmin Khan?
Yasmin Khan,
who's the actual founder of Staying Put. It's been going for about 15 years now.
15 years, we're celebrating.
Yes. Which we'll be talking about again in a minute. And through her help and her support and Evie's help and Jill's help, we managed to actually sit down and speak to the ladies, and we said, all right, okay, new workshops start in September 2016. I will come in, and it was workshops only at that point were running once a week on a Monday evening, and they agreed that I could come in, very kindly agreed that I could come in and document them as a photographer, which I did. And it was meant to be 6 weeks, but because obviously I'm so good and modest, I did it in 4 weeks, and I myself am very, very proud by the final product. I know you two have still yet to see
Can't wait.
I'm
so excited.
And that will actually be launching at the WOW Festival. So the WOW Festival, for you out there, I'm sure a lot of you have already heard about it in the local press, is the Women of the World Festival. And indeed, it's the very first WOW Bradford Festival.
Yeah.
So we are very privileged, very lucky, as I'm sure they are. Yeah. I'm sure they are. And that is being held from the 4th to the 6th of June. For the public, it's the 5th and 6th of June. It's the weekend, this weekend, in fact. The exhibition itself will be launching at Carl and Sagnum. So the whole festival is going to be held at Carl and Sagnum. I think they've got a few location places as well that they're doing elsewhere. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But the launch itself is this Friday at 7 o'clock at Carl and Sagnum. So if anybody's about, or anybody just wants to pop in, or you can get in touch. My number again is 07960723400. But then I can actually give you the link to Eventbrite where you can book on, or indeed just turn up. It's absolutely fine. So I will be speaking about, obviously I'll be speaking there for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if you can shut me up, about the work, and also all the mechanics of why I use certain lenses and why I focus on certain things, which will make more sense when the exhibition is actually revealed. But also, in line with that, in conjunction with that, Jill Boyd herself is launching her first public exhibition at OWL Festival. Yay! Let's give her a clap here. So moving back to you, Michelle, can you just tell our listeners out there what is Jill's actual idea for her exhibition?
So Jill is... it's an exhibition of tea towels. But the tea towels have got printed on there each individual woman's work, what they've created throughout the Butterfly Project.
Ah, so the women, the artists themselves, they actually created the work.
They've created the work, and Jill wanted to have it as a very simple everyday object, and it just works. It's brilliant. So it's on a washing line.
Yeah.
Tea towels hung up by pegs, and each individual person's working on there. But just because it's so ordinary.
Yeah.
And it happens in every household. A tea towel is in every household.
Yeah.
It just works, because what we're trying to do with these exhibitions, like myself and Jill.
Mm.
Really, really want to do it's validate the women's work, what they're doing,
yeah,
but it's putting awareness out there for other people that might see the exhibition.
Sure.
So it's letting them know that there is recovery groups out there. It lets them know that staying put, Keith or DVS have got recovery side as well.
Yeah.
And if somebody can go past this and go, right, okay, DVS, staying put, the Butterfly Project, but not do anything at that moment in time because they're not ready to. 6 months down the line, a year down the line, they might just remember those organisations that are out there to support them, and they might pick up the phone to call of our organisations when they're ready. So it's just getting that awareness out there and seeing it in a positive light. You get your posters everywhere, very depressing posters, you know, very obvious it's domestic abuse going on, but we need more awareness out there of the positive side and women coming out of it.
I totally agree, and I very much support and applaud what Staying Put do, and indeed the Butterfly Project. I have, myself as a photographer, I've sensed the vulnerability in the women, but I think one thing that I noticed, you know how the butterfly forms, so it goes from the egg to the larva to the chrysalis to the butterfly. I saw these women emerging as butterflies before my very eyes, and it was wonderful.
Mm.
It was emotional to see it right. It was happening right in front of me, and I didn't do anything. I was just there as a photographer, document it. But I think obviously, you know, once we all felt more comfortable around each other, that they did relax. Mm. Certainly in our last session, we did the portrait sessions. Do you remember, ladies?
Mm.
You two have some fantastic portraits coming up in the exhibition. And I think, do you remember the technique I used? Evie, do you want to just talk about a bit about the technique that we used when we were talking outside and what I did?
Well, you immediately put me at ease because I was near a tree, which is somewhere that I sort of class as a place that I feel natural in.
Yeah.
And I was sat there looking very brown. And
had you come back from holiday?
No, it was just my clothing was very brown. But I don't normally wear brown, so I sort of like blended in a bit with nature. But you asked me a series of questions which were all about what did I used to be like, how I am now, and what do I want for the future. And it was just all about the positive aspect of recovery from going from where I was to where I am currently and seeing a future.
Yeah.
I never saw... I'm going to cry.
Did you find that the technique of asking questions that were open questions, were they able to put you in a more relaxed frame of mind for a photographer? Not just for me, it could have been any photographer.
I think it's... you asked questions, one that were relevant to what Jill and Staying Put were trying to do with the Butterfly Project.
Yeah.
And also it was questions that we had reached a stage where we were comfortable with.
Yeah.
We were, in a way, letting go of the past us and moving forward into the now. And then from there, I think I called it a corridor of possibility.
Oh, I like that.
Which,
ooh, that's a point.
I know. I think
I'm gonna steal that.
Fell on my head and gave me wisdom. But it was very much sort of, I can't describe it. The Freedom Programme led me to a place that I needed to go to explore some of the residue.
Mm.
The Butterfly Project transitioned me.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a place where I feel confident to go back to work. I'm confident in myself. Yeah, I cry, but it's not sad crying.
Yeah.
It's happy crying because I know I'm no longer that person.
Yeah.
The trapped person. And I think it was one of those things that you brought out of each and every one of us was the fact that we felt relaxed.
Yeah.
And you can tell that because I'm laughing my head off most of the time.
Pretty much all your pictures, well, I have to say.
Yeah. I must admit, I sometimes have been in the past a miserable cow, but now I'm embracing that side of me, which is carefree, which is a free spirit, which is allowed to be me.
Yeah.
And that is so powerful, and it's empowerment in action, and that's what Stay In Put, the Freedom Programme and the Butterfly Project and you have brought out of me, so thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I think my head is actually slightly inflated, so I'm just going to go get a pin to deflate it. So while that's happening, what we're going to do is just going to... we're going to play a song that our lovely Michelle here specifically requested. It's Try a Little Tenderness, but the one that you requested was actually by the...
the movie soundtrack Commitment. But we've got Otis Redding, but that's fine.
We've got Otis Redding will do. We love a little bit of Otis. So here we go.
Be weary. Them young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress, but when she gets weary, try a little tenderness, You know she's waiting, just anticipating for things that she'll never, 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 never possess. But while she's there waiting, and without them, try a little tenderness. Gotta do. It's not just sentimental, no, no, no. She has her grief and care. But the soft words, they all spoke so gentle, it makes it easier to bear, you won't regret it, no, young girls, they don't forget it, love is their home, happiness. You got to know what to do, baby. Take this advice.
And that was a little bit of Otis Redding. We do like Otis, don't we, here?
Yeah.
Yeah, Otis is good for the soul. Right. Okay, Michelle. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. What are you going to ask me next?
What I wanted to ask you was, obviously you work for Stay In Put. Has anything like this ever been done before? Has an artist, has any external contributor come to you and said, look, we really passionately believe in what you're doing and we want to set up an exhibition or sort, or do some sort of promotion sort?
Well, I started at Stay In Put last September, and that was a casual worker. So it's sort of from February that I've been a full-time employee there. The post that I actually do, the recovery side and capacity building side, is a fairly new post as well. So from previous to me, I'm not sure if people have been approached, but we've not had the staff or the position there to run with it. But Jill was the first person to approach me with an idea.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, it sounds really good, and my background's art and design and art therapy, and I thought, yeah, this will work.
Yeah.
So I just thought, we'll just go with it, just see where it takes us. And then, obviously, you've approached myself, and I'm like, yeah, it sounds good. Just go with it.
Yeah.
And that's how I just seem to be running with it at the moment.
Yeah.
Approach me if I think I've got the time and I can do what I need to do.
Yeah,
definitely, I'll give it a go if I think it's going to work, yeah.
We like that answer. We do. And you'd mentioned you've got a background yourself in art and design. Do you think that helped contributed to the final saying yes, or do you think it would have taken a certain person anyway to consider it? Because at the end of the day, we're dealing with very vulnerable people here. So if it was somebody and they have their value as well, for example, who was very much into meeting targets and numbers person and didn't quite have that kind of background.
I think having the background has helped a lot.
Yeah.
I did design studies at university, and I focused my final year on art therapy and working with mental health patients. The way I was going then, I wanted to work with children going through domestic abuse, witnessing it, experiencing it. So I focused my final dissertation project on how art therapy and the creative process can help when people in the form of recovery. With mental health, it calmed them down, it may give them a focus point. And yeah, definitely. Because I went into the fields, I've worked with autistic children, with mental health, going into like support work, like in supporting environments in hostels and stuff. I've seen as evidence how much art, being creative and putting your thoughts down on paper, even if it's through a form of dance or creative music.
Yeah.
Just doodling or writing, creative writing, anything like that, how you can express yourself is definitely a massive tool to help you on the road to recovery.
And do you agree that art itself is quite cathartic?
Oh, yeah, it's
definitely.
Yeah, I think it's hard for people to find that bit of artistic side to themselves, especially if they've not been able to use it before. But it's surprising, actually, how many women have come through and come on the Butterfly Project, and what they create is, like, amazing.
I mean, like you were saying, you were talking about the tea towels. I, myself, would have thought, okay, tea towels, what can I do with them? Yeah, I could paint it, I could do this, that and the other. But the fact that every woman has imprinted a little bit of their soul individually, and it's hanging up as a collective piece...
Yeah.
For me, that is really, really powerful, quite potent. I mean, you were nodding there earlier, Evie. Mm. What input did you yourself have in terms of the creation of the exhibition, and what kind of input do you have in the classes themselves?
I think the input definitely comes from Jill. She is good at bringing ideas to the table which we are able to move on from. She's created a weekly workbook that we now use, and initially what she said was, use a word that describes you, and she gave us a list, and it was quite overwhelming. And the fact that we are looking for positives about ourselves, mm-hmm. it's a huge change. Normally we're berating ourselves, mm-hmm. and you know, we've got that residue in our head of what names we were called in the past. So for Jill to sort of say to us, right, look at a word that describes you, and my word was bold.
Yeah.
And I used bold because I sort of lost who I was, and now I'm sort of getting back to punky, hippie, tree-hugging, loudmouth, laughy me. And it's nice. I like being bold. I like being vibrant. I like being different.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be trapped. I never wanted to be... I felt like my wings had been cut.
Mm.
So now, what's happening now is... I'm embracing the fact that that word has led me on to other ideas where I'm exploring poetry, and I've always created, and I've created mixed media art,
yeah.
for a number of years, and it's just, I don't know, it sort of validated,
yeah.
what I do. It gave me... a little bit of, like the teacher at school giving you a gold star. That's the
house point.
That's what you get. It doesn't matter what level of creativity you're at. You know, what you bring to that table, we all have put our individual stamps on.
Yeah.
So there's some that it's quite simplistic art.
Yeah.
There's... really talented artists who have joined in as well, who are really, really good. They're good at drawing, and I'm sort of like very much a, I'll have a go and see what it turns out like.
Yeah.
And then you step back and you go, actually, I really enjoyed that. It takes you out of your head, and sometimes it can be a scary place, the heads of recovering domestic abuse survivors. And for those hours that we're creating, we're us.
Yeah. And how important do you think that the actual medium of photography has played a part? Obviously, we've got the exhibition coming in, but I mean, how relevant do you think photography is itself in terms of capturing, well, survivors of domestic abuse? Because potentially, I mean, I remember when I approached, all of you, and rightly so, you were hesitant because... Mm. A picture can speak 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, these are very vulnerable, potentially very, very strong, but still very vulnerable women that have had, you know, quite a tragic backstory. So, I mean, going to you, Michelle, were you a little hesitant? And you can say, it's all right, you're only live, I'm only joking. you can tell that, because I would be, because
I worried for the ladies, mm-hmm. obviously, because... This, you know, it's nerve-wracking, and especially when somebody's there as well and capturing them in a form of photography to be used in exhibition.
Yeah.
They really had to, we worked for all consent and everything,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of women did change towards the end because the perpetrator might see the exhibition or get wind of it.
Mm.
So we had a lot to contend with, really.
Mm.
But I was quite excited as well. You've been doing little snapshots and sending the odd photograph through.
Yeah.
And a picture does speak 1,000 words. You catch people in the middle of a laugh.
Yeah.
So like in the middle of a serious point where they're really focusing on something creative. And you see the truth themselves. Like, I'm there in the room with them, but you're there.
Yeah.
But when you capture those photographs and see them, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was a good session.
Yeah.
It was good. Look at them there. Look, they are enjoying themselves. Look how much they're concentrating there.
And do you think it would inspire yourself to ask Jill to possibly use the medium of photography within the workshops?
I think Jill will use the medium of photography anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of her artistic background is photography.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we'll be doing this next few weeks is come to terms with what the Hive has got to offer, because it has so much to offer.
It does.
And when the women start coming through the next few weeks, we've got a lot of new people starting.
Yeah.
Letting them get a feel of the building, let them get a feel what materials are available, what equipment's available. And we'll probably roll with it by what they want. Jill will work her lesson plans around who we've got in the group and what their interests are.
Yeah.
Because like I say, at the moment we've got young girls coming.
Sure.
Then we've got retired people coming.
Mm.
We've got all backgrounds, all different tastes, all different styles.
Yeah.
And everyone's in one room as one collective family. It's fab.
Yeah.
And going back to when Evie was talking about like picking a name about something positive about yourself off this list.
Mm.
And it is a massive list.
Yeah.
It's still very difficult for somebody to pick something positive about themselves when they've been fed over such a length of time that they're useless, that they're worthless, that they're no good.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find anything positive to say about myself. Today we had a new girl started, and she came up to me with a list and said, what word would you think describes me? Well, I don't know her that well, but she told me just like 5 minutes beforehand what had happened the week before.
Yeah.
And she'd done something really, really brave.
Yeah.
So that was the word. I said, well, I'd go for brave if I was you, because you've done something massive in that week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When something, again, massive later on at the end of the week was happening.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, never saw myself as being brave.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you are.
Yeah.
You need to start recognising these kind of things. And as soon as you start getting worn down, they can start pulling in more of the positive words.
Sure.
And again, it's one of those when you ask the group, oh, I'm really stuck. The group are giving the positive words.
Yeah.
Something that you don't see as being positive, somebody else sees that as a really massive, big achievement and a wonderful thing to be around. It might be a case that you're a good listener, you're good at giving hugs,
that
you make a fantastic cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that, they're all positive things.
Sure.
You've got a lovely smile, I love the way you dress, love the way that you say things how you want. Love the way you swear all the time, you just don't care. things like that, they're all the great things in the personalities, and when they can start being themselves again, I notice the difference. I see them from coming through the Freedom Programme, where they're more than likely in tears on the first day walking through that door. See them go through like a process of getting angry, dealing with it, they feel guilt, they feel blame. All through that 12 weeks process, and I see them go to the Butterfly Project, and I see them having these WhatsApp groups, they're meeting up and arranging, having a coffee when they're feeling low, they're picking up the phone to somebody else in the group, swapping recipes, swapping ideas, having a laugh, getting up and talking to the group where they never would talk to the group before, and being open and not worried about what they say, and nobody's bothered. It's such a non-judgmental group, the stuff that comes out of it in that group, actually.
Yeah.
And they just take each other for who they are, and it's fab.
I mean, as an outsider, when I were there, and some of the things, like you said, the woman came out with, I thought, you would never in a million years think that these women that had gone through the trauma that they had gone through, and that, for me, was the beauty of it. That, for me, apart from the fact that they're using art as a medium to you know, as a cathartic medium to express where they are now, the fact that they were like this, literally, this gaggle of women who were sat together having a laugh, like you would see in Costa Coffee or in anywhere, and you would never in a million years think that they had gone through this really traumatic experience.
You'd
and
think
they've
known each other for years.
Honestly,
it's such a safe space.
Yeah,
it's a safe, protective space, and we can just be us in front of each other,
and
it's natural and it's empowering.
Right, oh, I'm empowered now. I think I need to lie down. So, while we're talking about that, we're all gonna have a lie down for the peeps. You can have a listen to this. Now, this is actually quite aptly titled Rescue. Well, I don't know if that was intentional or not.
It was.
By Echo and the Bunnymen, one of Evie's fellow scouts. They
used to go to Planet X.
Planet X. Right, we're going to talk about that while this is playing. I actually want to know what Planet X is now. All right, goodly people, enjoy. ¶¶
This is BCB 106.6 FM.
And we're back. We are back, folks. And we're nearly to an end. I know you're going to miss us all, but still, good things have to come to an end. What can I say? And you're back with Shai Burhan at, BCB Radio, obviously, because that's what's just played, so you should know that. We're at Snapshot with Shai. This is probably our fourth or fifth episode, but there's going to be about 100, so yeah. Hang on to your seatbelts. And we are joined with the fabulous Michelle O'Neill. Woo! And the fantastic, even more fantastic, equally for the studio.
And Jill Boyd would be here, but she's poorly.
Indeed. Jill Boyd is the founder of the Butterfly Project, which is what we've been talking about today. We are talking about the exhibition that we're going to be launching at the Wild Festival on Friday. We will all be there, so obviously you need to come just for that reason alone. On a serious note, we're launching two exhibitions. You're launching myself, which is called Butterfly, quite aptly titled because it's called Butterfly. And it's about exploring the workshops that I documented over a 4-week period with the fantastic Butterfly Project, with the help of the equally fantastic Sing Put. And also Jill is launching an exhibition. It's called Resilience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Resilience. Yeah, and it's actually quite emotional, because emotional yet so ordinary at the same time, but just so relevant. And it's actually the work that has been created in the workshops by the women themselves, an ordinary set of tea towels, but imprinted with their own little bit of soul, their own little bit of design. And as a collective, work is really, really a really powerful statement. So I'd encourage you all to come down. So that's this Friday at the Wild Festival at the brilliant Carla Sangam, and that starts at 7 o'clock, and then it's running on until sort of mid-January-ish, we hope, or if not a bit longer. But anyway, so moving on swiftly, Michelle, hello. We're not nervous now, are we?
A bit still.
Are you still a bit nervous? I think she's done really well, don't you?
Yeah.
I think you're doing exceptionally well.
I'm ready to like it.
She's got kids and she wants to celebrate Halloween with them, whereas I don't actually need to wear a mask. So, so just while we're sort of closing to the last 10 minutes, I wanted to ask you, with regards to the exhibition itself and moving forward, how do you actually hope to install this into the organisation, the work that we've done here, and what do you hope that the Staying Put will gain from it?
I think by just putting the awareness out there and having exhibitions, recognising the work that we are doing, it's not just a Butterfly Project where women get together and do a bit of arts and craft. It's not that, it's more than that. And to see the work up there, and again, like I said earlier, it's putting that awareness out for people who, if they just walked through Carla Sangam, maybe just gone for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee in the cafe, they've gone past the exhibition and thought about it, realised what it's about, and thought, that's where I am. I'm in an abusive relationship, and I know there's some support out there. Knowing that Keith Lee Domestic Violence Services or Staying Put are available, that are out there, that they can call when they're ready, and it's good. It's been really good for the women to work, have this project where they're working against it. They're looking forward to it. They can't wait to go there with their friends and family. As a collective front, it's a massive thing that they've done. From where they were last year to where they are now, it's huge. It's big. They're excited about it, and it gives them a chance to tell their stories for those that are ready. Those that are not ready. It's talking through other people. What I'd like to see in the future is, obviously, we want to do more work together, don't we?
We do.
We've got a few things lined up that next year that we really want to do, so it's all waiting on funding bids again, which everything is at the moment, charity-based. It's always funding. But we want to get more awareness out there, not just for women, but for men. LGBT community, the domestic abuse is happening. We're not getting referrals through. Men. Domestic abuse is happening, we're not getting referrals through. We need to challenge that and break that boundary. We just need to break that barrier and get through there and get get it heard and make them feel comfortable about approaching the organisation, having support, and having support groups as well.
Yeah.
Just because they're men
yeah.
doesn't mean to say that they wouldn't benefit from a male group.
Sure. Yeah. And that's probably yeah. another conversation and probably another, indeed another show in itself, but do you find that the minority groups, well, they're not minority, I mean they're half the population, but you know, the male domestic abuse victims and indeed the LGBTQT you know, the group there,
yeah.
do you find that they feel that they can't go to charities because they don't feel they'll be listened to?
We've got to think that sometimes when you're in a domestic abuse relationship, you might not realise you're in a domestic abuse relationship.
Yeah.
Obviously, men can become more embarrassed about coming forward.
Yeah.
A lot of our referrals that do come through are actually from the police. So if the police are not recognising that it is a gay relationship or it is abuse rather than putting it down to something else, we're not going to get those referrals through. We've got a lot of challenging to do. Another part of my job is delivering training alongside Bradford Workforce Development.
Mm.
We are plugging that so much.
Mm.
And is it BME communities?
Yeah.
You know, your small ethnic communities?
Yeah.
There's a lot of barriers in place and I could be here for the next week talking about the barriers that are challenging for these communities when you've got a close-knit community where they can't escape from the community. It's not just abuse from an intimate relationship. It can be abuse from extended family.
Sure.
It can be abuse within the home from any other person. It can be from your child.
Sure.
Child and parent abuse is coming through. So there's a lot of challenges and areas that we need to get more awareness out there.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, listeners, I do think that issue, she makes a very pertinent point, and I think that we should have her back in the studio talking about that, because it's indeed something I'm very interested in, because have you ever heard of the photographer, either of you two, Diane Arbus?
No.
So Diane Arbus was prolific in the 1960s and 1970s, and what she did was she documented those people on the fringes of society.
Yeah.
So that, for example, those people that considered the little people, dwarves, or those people that had disabilities, and her work was incredibly powerful, like show-stoppingly powerful, I mean, for me, it's always about inspiration and picking up where the forefathers have left off in terms of photography. But bringing it back to what we were talking about today, I think it's a shame that the fringe groups do feel like they don't have a voice, because everybody should have a voice. Everybody should have the right. And moving on to you, Evie, I mean, what role do you think that you will play in, you know, moving forward now that when the exhibition is launched, what do you hope to do with what you've learned and what you've gained from the exhibitions?
Well, there's plans for me to buddy some of the new people who are coming to the Butterfly Project. So Jill can sort of do what she needs to do, but also if there's someone that's struggling or just needs someone to sit next to them on their first day, I'm going to be a butterfly buddy.
Oh, excellent.
Which I like
that.
The sound
BB.
Of. Yeah. Personally, I've grown in confidence enough to set up my own CIC with a colleague, Youth Movement Against Violence, which is going to be concentrating on all types of violence, but also going to schools and talk about the beginnings of domestic abuse relationships.
What's the name of that CIC?
Youth Movement Against Violence.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
YMAV for short. Also, I've recently done restorative justice training, which is working with offenders and their victims and bringing them together to try and get closure with a crime that's happened. I'm going to be starting at a basic level first and then working my way up to that. I am part of the cohort at Bradford Council who go in and do training around recognising and responding to domestic abuse. I feel very privileged because I feel like I'm a voice for the victims that are still out there, still struggling, that used to be me.
Yeah.
And it's powerful to do something that makes me feel like I've come full circle
I'm no longer seeing myself as a victim. I'm seeing myself as a kick-ass survivor. And the other thing is, I feel that the positives are, I'm enjoying life. And that is thanks to the Freedom Programme and the Butterfly Project, and just being in a new relationship that makes me feel safe.
So you have a lovely young chap now.
Yes.
And the dynamic is, we should get them both in again, don't you think? we should have a new show called just Couple with Shy. What do you think?
Yeah.
We could have a brew or two. Yeah. Right, folks, we're coming towards the end of the show now. Thank you very much for joining us all. Can we have a big goodbye for Michelle?
See you later. Thanks for having me.
And a big goodbye for Evie.
Thank you.
And don't forget, folks, the exhibitions, both of them, Resilience and Butterfly, will be on at Carl and Sangnam at the launch of the WOW Festival. Starts at 7 p.m. on the 4th of November, that's this Friday, and the WOW Festival will run until the close of the 6th of November, so it's there Saturday and Sunday for the public. Come on down, we've got people like Malala Yousafzai coming, and I will be there. I will be there as the event photographer. They're so lucky to have me, I know, I'm sorry. come in and say hello, but please do come down and support the fantastic Staying Put and Butterfly Project. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.